name's Prachar Stegman, and I'm from Canberra, Australia. I started playing piano when I was 8 years old, just out of the blue. I had no musical background, my family had no musical background, but one day I remember I just said to my parents, I want to start playing piano. I don't know where that came from, it just came out of my mouth, and they said, that's a wonderful idea. So we found a piano teacher who lived around the corner, and that first year, I just threw myself into it. I was so thrilled to be involved in this, what for me was a completely new world. And music was a means to enter into another place, another part of myself, which where everything was perfect, and everything was peaceful, and everything was uplifting and sublime. And I remember playing some very, very simple pieces, the two-part inventions by Bach, and being moved to tears because of their simplicity and purity and beauty. And there was something about that which, to me, just embodied perfection. So music, it was like discovering a long-lost friend. You know, this was all when I was 8 years old. So then, of course, I continued my studies of piano right the way through until the tertiary level and gained a Bachelor of Music degree in piano performance. I was attracted to meditation initially to help me with my music. I had this feeling that I needed to get deeper into the source of music, and I was a little frustrated at the time. I was 21 years old. I was a little frustrated that I was not being able to express the inner depth of the music that I was playing, and I had this intuitive feeling that the study of meditation would help me. For two reasons. One, that it would help me to go deeper into myself and therefore identify with the music. And the other reason is that in performance I would become nervous. And when you're nervous, of course, you become tense, physically tense, and you therefore cannot express yourself as fully and freely at the piano. So I wanted to conquer this nervousness, because nervousness to me was a real weakness. It was something which was a real barrier to expressing the inner beauty of the music. So I really wanted to conquer this nervousness, and I really wanted to get deeper into music. So that's what led me to meditation in the first place. And it was very effective for both those goals. I first started to learn meditation at the Sri Chinmoy Center, but I did not know anything about Sri Chinmoy's music. I mean, I knew he was a composer, but for some reason I wasn't attracted to that. I was more attracted to his writings and just to the meditation, and that's what really engrossed me in those first months. It was only after I came to New York the first time to see Sri Chinmoy and attended some of his public meditations. And during those public meditations, he would play music, and also he would have the singing groups performing his songs a cappella, that is, without any instrumental accompaniment, just the pure melodic line. And during some of those meditations, while Sri Chinmoy was meditating and this music was being sung, I had really the most sublime experiences, which far transcended any that I had had in this lifetime up to that point. And the music was very, very much integral to those experiences. I could not separate the height of the experience from the music. So from that moment on, the qualities that are imbued in Sri Chinmoy's music were, to me, a very sure gateway to a meditative state. Not just a meditative state where you're trying to silence the mind and stand outside of your earthly turmoils and worries. This is what a lot of people see meditation as, some kind of an escape. But more of an entree to deeper and a more fulfilling part of ourselves, where you see yourself and the whole world around you as, on a deeper level, for what it really is, something extraordinarily beautiful and subtle and meaningful. Witnessing Sri Chinmoy composing songs was also a real learning experience Like any real spiritual master, Sri Chinmoy would teach more through his actions than through anything that he said. Really, everything which he did was teaching. So even just sitting there composing songs, on the one hand, yes, he's composing songs, that's an activity, but at the same time, he's teaching those around him how to go about accessing this source of creativity, which, as he always said, is not his sole prerogative. You know, it's there in everybody. So he would always teach us by example, and when he was composing, it was quite miraculous to see that he would just be sitting there quite relaxed, but with a very, very intense concentrative focus. He would really be able to, even if there was some other noise going on around, or there were some distractions, or, you know, people doing things all around, he would be able to block all of that out and just focus on the composition. Usually he would write the words first, so he would have the words there, and then he would search for the right melody for those words. And depending on the type of composition, it could be a song which he was writing to honor somebody, a song for a person or for an occasion. Or maybe he's setting music to one of his Bengali poems, which would be a devotional song, or a song expressing the, you know, the beauty, the purity of an inner meditative state. But just to see his focus of concentration was really a tremendous lesson in itself that you can apply to any area of life. You know, if you want to do anything, just apply that same focus of concentration and you can do it without fail. And Sri Chinmoy used to say that for him, entering into the creative world, entering into the world of poetry or music, was like drinking water. He did not have to search for what he called the bird of inspiration. He would see it flying past and he would just invite it to stay with him for a while. So that was a remarkable capacity and something truly magical to witness. But what was most magical about it was not to see that, okay, here is somebody doing this, but to realize that I can do this too. You know, that each of us has this capacity to explore the depths of our own creativity to an unlimited degree. Give life to music, you have to give your whole heart and soul. You have to give yourself. For Sri Chinmoy, the music was never about the notes on the paper. He did not read a Western musical notation and he did not write Western musical notation. So when he would compose a song, it was all about the feeling of the song and the flow of the melody and the expression of the inner inspiration. So music was a direct expression of something vivid, something real, something alive. It was never a mechanical, technical experience, which had been much of my experience as a trained classical Western musician. You know, you start with the notes on the page. Sri Chinmoy never started with the notes on the page. He started with this very vivid, alive sensation or feeling or, you know, something that needed to be expressed. When Sri Chinmoy would teach us the songs, he was never so concerned that we were singing the right note. He was concerned with the way in which we sang. He wanted us to sing with all our hearts, you know, and if we were just singing there, mouthing the words and getting the notes right, he would just shake his head. It just wasn't what he was after. In fact, he did not listen to the singing with his ears, but really with his heart. And he was never satisfied unless he got the feeling directly from us, which was the same feeling that he had put into the song. In other words, he wanted to have his song reflected back to him with the same live, fresh, living, vivid feeling that he had experienced to put into the song. And that always would give him a real thrill. He would be tremendously satisfied when we did sing with that feeling that he was looking for. So I would say that what I learned most from the way Sri Chinmoy taught songs was to sing with all of your being. Sri Chinmoy used to talk about singing powerfully and singing soulfully, but he had another expression, which was to sing self-givingly. And that to me is a very, very significant expression, which is a key to understanding Sri Chinmoy's music, particularly the expression and the performance of Sri Chinmoy's music. Not only his music, but actually anything in life. If you do anything self-givingly, it means that you're pouring your whole self into it. You don't have to be an expert musician. You don't have to have a good voice. You don't have to sing in tune even. But if you're singing self-givingly, you're giving your whole being to the song. And the same way that you could be doing anything self-givingly, you're talking to someone self-givingly, you're washing dishes self-givingly, you're running self-givingly. If you give yourself fully to the activity, then you gain much, much more from the activity. So that, to me, was always a real key expression, to sing self-givingly. And it goes also with the other keys that Sri Chinmoy said, to sing powerfully and soulfully. Now, powerfully does not mean loudly, necessarily. Power is an inner quality. It comes from within, and it comes very much from that self-giving quality. If you're giving your whole being, the power is there. And power, you can be singing very powerfully, but be singing very softly. The power is in the conviction with which you sing. If you're singing and your whole focus of your concentration, your whole being is in the song and the expression of the song, you're not thinking about your breakfast while you're singing. You're not thinking about the audience. You're not thinking about anything else. You're just focused on being an instrument to express the beauty and the love and the joy of the song. That's singing with power, and that's singing with soulfulness. You know, soulfulness is not singing, is not something which can be faked. It's not something which can be injected by some formula. You know, you don't sing soulfully just because you smile, or just because you stand in a certain way, or just because you fold your hands, or just because you sing softer or more slowly. No, no, no. Soulfulness comes from that same sense of self-giving, that our whole being is offered to the song, to the music. That's what I learned from Sri Chinmoy teaching songs. Alik Shapan, Alik Chetan, Alik Jiva, Alik Maran, Shabi Alik, Jani Ami Jani, Bol Kare O Khena Tabu, O Go Ama, Iya Prabhu, Nahi Shuni Tomar Madhu, Everything Sri Chinmoy did was teaching, and in this sense his creative output mirrored the abundance of the universe, the abundance of the creation, and the abundance of our own inner capacity, our own inner experience. You know, we are not one-dimensional beings, although when we live in our minds we tend to become very one- or two-dimensional. But Sri Chinmoy was showing us through his own creative capacity that we are all myriad-dimensional beings. So, and that was a very important aspect of his teaching. Not just that he could compose a beautiful song or a very moving song, but through the variety and the sum of all the songs put together, you get this vast tapestry of the universe. As you said, of divine and human emotion is all there, and experience. So through the songs themselves, it's like standing in front of something really overwhelmingly awesome and amazing.